This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, it's live. It's happening. It's Tuesday. CliffCentral.com. Good morning. We're here to help you through the shitty news and the good news and the bad news and the interesting news.
Yes.
That's what we try to do.
That's all-encompassing.
I know. It's fairly, yeah. It's busy. It's always busy here.
What's that Robin Williams movie where he hosts a radio show?
Good Morning Vietnam.
That one. That's all you just reminded me of this morning. Random
yeah,
reference.
Well, this is not Vietnam. We're a little bit better off.
Yeah.
Things are a bit better.
Today.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Thank God. You know, wake up every day and realize you live in the 21st century. You don't have to go to war for some bullshit that you don't believe in.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Telling you now, this is the best time to be alive, and don't believe anyone who tells you otherwise. They're bullshit artists.
Oh,
all right, everybody.
Can I quote you directly there?
Go for it.
Okay.
You are welcome to.
Bullshit artists.
So, I think we've got to address the elephant in the room this morning.
I think I know what it is.
What is
okay.
it?
Wait.
Is it your day yesterday?
Oh. No, well, I thought.
No.
Gavin Watson.
Yeah,
good. Yeah.
Oh, that.
Holy shit. Can we talk about this Gavin Watson thing?
Let's talk
about it. What's happening, guys?
All right.
If you had to. Okay. All right.
Let's calm down.
Okay.
Everybody stop whatever you're doing. Let's figure this out together, all right? Yeah.
I won't even lie. I started to sweat a bit when I heard the news yesterday.
I mean, we finished the show. I went and sat in my office. I was busy replying to, thank God. And listen, I got to say a big thank you to everybody who sent me lovely birthday messages. But wow, did I spend the whole day yesterday replying to messages. I mean,
it's a good thing.
Makes me feel loved. I feel very appreciated.
Helps with the arthritis.
I mean, WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, emails, calls,
text messages.
It was fantastic. I felt
messages
very,
in a bottle.
Felt very loved. But next year, I'm going to have to employ someone to just reply to messages.
Well,
or they must create like a little PowerPoint presentation of everything in a summary.
Yeah, listen,
like with graphs.
It's a lot, huh? And you want to give everybody a personal reply, which I did. Thank God, I got through to everyone and thanked everyone.
Jeez.
I got very, very sweet gifts from some people, so I felt very special. But while I'm busy at my desk yesterday answering all these emails and all of these messages, I get this news flash on my laptop. Gavin Watson, Basasa boss Gavin Watson, dies in car crash. Mm. And I go, hang on a second. Mm. He's meant to testify today, Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
That's convenient.
Mm.
Mm. Now, our government and the underworld in South Africa and the kind of people that operate in that world are fucking incompetent. They can't do anything right. So this is it's all going to come out eventually. But if you are one of those people who genuinely believes either that it was Gavin Watson in that car.
Oh, you're giving me another spin on things.
Or that this was an accident, just a total freak accident on the only part of the highway where there aren't cameras at the airport.
And no other vehicle was involved.
Yeah, that it's just pure coincidence that he was going to testify at the State Capture Commission today. And that there isn't something nefarious going on. You are a moron. You're a complete stupid idiot. And you need to go back to school. And you need to have your brain sucked out of your head. And you need to be, I don't know, sent off to some gulag somewhere because you are a disaster area. This, as incompetent and useless as our government and all these security services and intelligence agency in this country and all the underworld criminal people. And by that, I repeat myself because a lot of them are the same people.
Mm.
They're incompetent. So it's all going to come out in the wash.
It's actually even more scary having an incompetent underworld than a competent one.
No, it totally is. So, all right, you got four options here. I mean, let's look at this story properly,
yes.
right? There are only four options. Do you want to know what they are?
Okay.
All right. A, suicide. That's a legitimate option. Maybe he realized, like maybe he was put under duress. Maybe someone said to him, hey, you testify tomorrow at that hearing, your family get it.
But he
could have. You could take the easy way out and kill yourself.
He could have killed himself in less dramatic
maybe
ways.
He got a call while he was driving.
No, I think that suicide is unlikely, but it's possible. B, he faked his own death.
That's
not that I'd never thought of at all.
That is a big one, because you think about it. Look at how the Guptas have just disappeared off the agenda, right? They live in Dubai. They're living large. They're spending all of our money, having a great time. And we can't touch them. Gavin Watson may turn up in a year or two's time in some other country, like Panama, where we don't have an extradition treaty.
What about the fact that there's a body, there's identification?
We don't know any of that. If the road was closed off, the police have done this, it could have been covered up. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy theory involved there, but it's quite possible he faked his own death. Remember, the guy had so much money. You could bribe a lot of dumb fucks in this country.
You could
get a lot of a really incompetent, useless, venal people to just take your money. That could work. So, B has faked his own death, right? A, suicide. B, faked his own death. C, he was taken out. So, someone arranged a hit on him.
Yeah, I mean, there were no other cars involved. Maybe someone fired a bullet.
Yeah, suspicious time of the morning.
I mean, are you going to find a bullet in that wreckage?
Yeah, so I don't know. You'd probably see it through the windscreen or whatever. But the fact is, this is the another possibility that he was taken out. And the obvious one is an unfortunate accident. Those are the four possibilities here. They're only those four possibilities. Of them, to me, the least likely one is suicide and the unfortunate accident.
An unfortunate accident could also include having a stroke while behind the wheel or a heart attack.
Sure.
Leanne,
very slim chance.
I don't think it's anything innocent. Let me just put that out there.
It doesn't look innocent, because, I mean, he left his own car, a BMW X5, at the office and grabbed a Corolla.
Yeah, he was,
which is what they use for Uber.
Why did he leave his own car?
Why would he leave the safety of a BMW for a Corolla?
Right.
Wait, I didn't hear that.
Now, there's a lot that's clearly very messy about this. And because, again, I'm going to tell you, with all the love I can muster, the people who are supposedly running the underworld in South Africa and the people who are in charge of our government in South Africa are not great, competent people. They're not the people you would trust to, like, arrange the John F. Kennedy assassination.
Probably get it wrong.
They might surprise you, Gareth.
They couldn't organize a piss up in a brewery, please believe me.
Exhibit A, they might surprise you.
That's what I'm saying. This is so badly orchestrated and obvious. It's an obvious disaster.
I think he did it himself. He's running away. And he'll resurface years after the fact.
I mean, he's got all this money, right? He made a lot of political friends who owe him favors. This is him cashing in on those favors and getting the hell out. And I would watch his family very carefully now, if I were you.
Obviously, if they're crying.
No. I don't mean just that. And obviously, you know, you want to be a little bit sensitive about this, just in case the guy actually is dead.
Okay.
But I would watch them carefully and see where they travel. That's all.
Oh, you know what they'll say, though. You know, we fear for our lives, or
we just need to start afresh. Let's watch where they fly to and who they hang out with.
I'm going with the apple fell out of his lunchbox, rolled off the seat. He bent down to pick it up, and
the apple fell out of his
lunchbox. When he looked up, the pillow was there. That's what I think
you
happened.
You are so innocent and sweet.
The apple.
I'm going with that.
From his lunchbox.
Google, what do you say?
Look, it doesn't look innocent, as Gareth said. I think there's something behind it.
Faked his own death.
Yeah.
And possibly. as somebody just says here now, who's this? That's Ruth. She says, got picked up, went to a hangar and boarded a private jet or a Tambo.
Oh, guys.
Ooh.
Like in the movies.
Think about how convenient it is that it happened at the airport.
Like in the movies.
On a main road, going to the airport.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
this is juicy.
I mean, why? There's just too much about this that's very suspicious. And if you don't think it's suspicious, you're just very naive.
The frustrating part is we may never, ever know.
I want to put my head in the sand. I don't want to know. There's just too much sliminess and
I wanna know.
Sneakiness going
people
on
have,
here.
People have got to know.
Mm-mm.
People have got to know. Tell me that you don't want to know. Really? You do want to know? Mm-mm. Come on, Sia. Don't lie.
If I know, then I'm involved, then...
Mm-mm. No, we all want to know. This is a national news story.
Hey, morning, team. Yeah, you know what? Yesterday, when I also heard about this Gavin Watson accident, I was like, nah, something is up there. And then I heard that over the weekend, I think on Sunday, he had a whole prayer meeting with the staff at work. And now they say the guy didn't have an office. He didn't even have a computer. I was like, ah, come on. I was not even born yesterday. Like, I've been fooled too many times.
Exactly.
Not again.
Thank you.
The guy is alive, probably escaped to some other place elsewhere while everyone was still taking pictures of the accident.
Right. Mm. Thank you very much. So there's another hoax that's going on. And I'm really just tired of this because everybody, and I said the other day, and you all got cross with me because you said you're being so angry and passionate about something that doesn't even, it doesn't really need me to be cross. But all of this crap about the Amazon is wrong. Have you seen these stories?
I followed a bit of it over the weekend. Right. I read an article that was showing some of the viral photos that we've seen on social media over the past couple of days and how they were, some of them are incorrect. Like some of them were just used for the sake of, but actually aren't taken in the Amazon.
Singers and actors, a bunch of bullshit celebrities like Madonna, Jaden Smith, of sharing photos on social media that were seen by tens of millions of people. The lungs of the earth are in flames, said Leo DiCaprio. The Amazon rainforest produces more than 20% of the world's oxygen, tweeted Cristiano Ronaldo. The Amazon rainforest, the lungs which produce 20% of our planet's oxygen, is on fire, said the French president, Emmanuel Macron. And yet the photos were not actually of the fires, and many weren't even of the Amazon.
That's what I saw.
The photo that Ronaldo showed was taken in southern Brazil, far from the Amazon, in 2013. The photo DiCaprio and Macron shared is over 20 years old. The photo Madonna and Smith shared is over 30 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Some celebrities shared photos from Montana, from India, and from Sweden.
They're obviously without knowing.
They're morons. But you see, there's people hop on this, oh, I've got to look like a good person, so let me tweet about the Amazon.
The Amazon is not breathing.
Oh, please.
Imagine that.
So, to their credit, CNN and the New York Times debunked the photos and other misinformation. Deforestation is neither new nor limited to one nation, explained CNN. These fires were not caused by climate change, said the Times. Both publications repeated the claim the Amazon is the lungs of the world. The Amazon is often referred to as the Earth's lungs because of its vast forests that release oxygen and store carbon dioxide. Right, because that's what plants do, photosynthesis. I was curious to hear one of the world's leading Amazon forest experts, Dan Nepstad, who debunked the claim about the lungs of the world. It's bullshit, he said. There is no science behind that. The Amazon produces a lot of oxygen, but it uses the same amount of oxygen through respiration. So it's a wash.
Are we saying there's no fire at all?
No, there are fires. There are fires all over the world. Have you seen the fires? I flew over Durban on the way back here on Sunday and there were fires. There are fires everywhere. Fires are part of what happens when plants, and I'm not saying that humans are doing anything to help this. You know, before the climate change, people start saying to me I'm a denier or something worse. You have to, if you want me to treat this thing seriously, you are not allowed to spread bullshit. Because you give me shit if I spread bullshit, right? Correctly so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going
call you out.
You know, read Madonna's tweet and go, well, that's obviously true because it's Madonna. She's a singer with tits. With the funny tit thing. With the
That was back in the 70s.
Whatever
the cones.
That's why are we taking her seriously with pointy tits?
Right? I say all the more reason. Uh-huh.
All right. So this guy says the Amazon produces a lot of oxygen, but so do soy farms and cattle pastures. Some people will no doubt wave away the lungs myth as nitpicking. The broader point is that an increase in fires in Brazil is something that should be done, obviously by all of us about it. But the lungs myth is just the tip of the iceberg. CNN ran a long segment with the banner fires burning at record rate in Amazon forest, while a leading climate reporter had claimed the current fires are without precedent in the past 20,000 years. While the number of fires in 2019 is indeed 80% higher than 2018, it is just 7% higher than the average over the last 10 years. So if you look at the graph, the worst year was 2005.
Okay.
Where there were apparently over 160,000 forest fires detected by satellite. Now, if you're going to get hysterical, then I'm not going to take you seriously. Your emotional state of being is not going to make the thing truer or falser. It's just absolute crackpot nonsense that's going on here.
So what made it different this year that it blew up online?
These celebrities tweeting it out and taking photos from 30 years ago and making it look like that's happening now. And then everybody gets all hysterical. Honestly, if you want to solve this problem, buy a piece of the Amazon. I'm serious. No, this is what you got to do. You buy a goddamned hectare of the Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's possible to do this. You buy it and you park your money in it. It's not going to grow. You're not going to get anything else for it, but you'll save a piece of the Amazon if that's what you want to do.
Well, what I've also been trying to figure out, and I haven't yet, is whether or not there really was rain in the Amazon jungle over the weekend as well. Because one of the posts I saw was, and I'm paraphrasing here, Mother Nature decided to take power over the entire situation.
This is millennials with their stories on Insta. This is all it is. It's people with their stories on Insta trying to be important. You are not a climate activist. You're sitting in your parents' house and you're studying philosophy at university and you have no purpose and no meaning in your life and you're trying to derive that from some fire on a continent you're not even on.
Stupid.
Do something for the world, you sack of shit.
Ah, yee.
Really? I mean, do something for the world. I say if you want, plant some trees.
Mm-hmm. Cultivate the land or something.
How about tidy up around you? How about put something, make a nice garden in your own house? Mm-hmm. How many of these people who are sitting around, they don't have a single pot with a flower on a balcony, and they're busy complaining about the Amazon?
Sucking up the oxygen, idiots.
Plant some moss or something. I mean, have a herb garden on the one window that you've got on your house. Plant a herb garden on that window.
And not weed.
Exactly.
Although weed breeds too.
Oh, all right, selfish. So... filthy commie gangsters, but incredibly stupid, like a badly written B-grade comedy. Diatoms produce our oxygen. Diatoms are these tiny, they're microorganisms that live in the sea mostly.
Oh.
And they do. They produce a fortune of the oxygen on Earth. In fact, they are supposedly responsible for the fact that we're at, 20-something percent oxygen on the planet. Makes it possible for the rest of us to live. So I don't see anyone going, oh, the diatoms, because that would require someone to read and to do more than 140 or 280 characters on Twitter and get upset about Jaden Smith. Please, if you're taking your cue on morality and on being a good and useful person and doing something for the world from Jaden Smith, a wastrel who has spent his entire life banking off and living off of the name that his parents made for him. His very talented parents, who've treated him like most parents of this generation have treated their children, like some kind of little walking god, when he's absolutely useless at everything, including the movies that he's made that have all tanked.
Oh.
Can we just remember what works and what doesn't, and what's true and what isn't? Please.
Go sleep.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Really, it drives me crazy.
Why?
Dips says, all those who say the Amazon is the lungs of the world are uninformed. The Amazon uses up all the oxygen it creates. Yes, thank you very much, Dips. That's exactly right. There are massive fires in Siberia too, but you don't see anyone going crazy about that. You know why? Because it's cool to go to the Amazon. I know a bunch of millennials who want to go to the Amazon. Do you know what's in the Amazon? Bugs.
Yeah, I was about spiders. To say, not this one.
Mm-mm. Lots of big bugs.
Piranhas and big snakes.
That will sting you and bite you and eat you.
In the ass.
All over the place. Regarding Gavin Watson and the conspiracy, if he wasn't in the car, who crashed it into the concrete pillar? Well, listen, Mandy, that's a good question. You imagine if you have 5 or 6 million and you're willing to disperse that, and there's some suicidal dude who's just lost his job, can't support his family, and you find out about him because you've got a network of people. You owned a huge company, so you know how to get people. Mm. And you say, I'm looking for someone who's willing to take themselves out. I'll make sure their family are looked after.
That makes sense to me.
Is this the point when I say I personally know someone?
Here we go.
Who, him and his friend, as part of an insurance scam, for car insurance, found a homeless person on the streets, got him really drunk, put him in a car, and pushed the car off the cliff.
Oof. That's heavy.
Wow.
And claimed insurance for the car. And were bust and went to jail for it and served time.
Whew. Oh, so they've gone to jail. They actually have been.
They went to jail, yeah. They're out. But yeah.
Oh, what a thing to do.
So that could very well be, finding someone who's willing to do it.
That's a heavy one, Leon. I know someone who wanted to do something similar, but his plan was to get someone to drive the car into a skip waste bin. You know those big metal skip waste things? Put a helmet on, right off the car, and then claim for insurance. You know?
Mm.
Oh, good news, everybody. Great news. Graham's just sent me a screenshot from one of the news channels. Amazon fires extinguished by global tsunami of virtue signaling. Isn't that great news? So everybody can relax.
All of the ums.
You want to know what to do about, if you really care about the Amazon? Because there are, I mean, I care about the earth and I want to live in it and be able to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that there are unspoiled natural reserves where humans don't go in and screw things up. Apparently, it's a no-brainer for governments around the world to support Earth Alliance, which is called the Alianza di Terra. It's a fire detection and prevention network that was founded by a guy called Nepstad, who's been interviewed in this article that I just read you. It's comprised of 600 volunteers, mostly indigenous people and farmers. For $2 million a year, they could control the fires and stop the Amazon dieback. We have 600 people who've received top-notch training by U.S. fire jumpers, but now need trucks with the right gear so they can clear fire breaks through the forest and start a backfire to burn up the fuel in the pathway of the fire. You want to help? Help these people. Give them money. I don't want to see you talking about yourself and your feelings on social media. It's completely inconsequential. Nobody does. Nobody cares about how good a person you think you are when you're sitting at home masturbating furiously all the time.
That took a turn.
We have 600 people, he says, that need your help. And for such pragmatism to take hold among divergent interests, the news media will have to improve its future coverage of the issue. One of the grand challenges facing newsrooms covering complicated, emergent, enduring issues like tropical deforestation is finding ways to engage readers without histrionics. The alternative is ever more whiplash journalism, which is the recipe for reader disengagement. I don't care about emotional stories, and I'm not the only one, and more people in the world are just up to here with it. This one has feelings. That one has feelings. This one's feelings are hurt. This one wants more love. That one thinks they can rescue the Amazon when all they've ever done is live in their parents' house. You are not doing anything, and I don't like these stories because they make me frustrated.
What do you mean?
Do something. I want to hear stories about people who are practically doing things or who have thought of intelligent solutions for things, not just telling us how they feel about things. It's enough already. When did this become the barometer for how well we're doing as a civilization, how we feel about ourselves? It's not true. It's what we're doing. Half the reason that there are parts of the world that are left behind is because the parts of the world that are forging ahead have started to think about their feelings and become self-indulgent more than they've been working on active solutions to incorporate the rest of the world, bring those other people forward, help grow those economies, trade with those people, treat them as sovereign individuals. I mean, for heaven's sake, this is not complicated.
But it's so much easier to retweet a picture.
Absolutely, and to tell everyone how you feel.
Yeah, it's just a twisted thing. Okay.
Fires, it's rightly pointed out, are also a way of plants germinating.
Yes.
Right?
So we see this happening in the Cape.
Correct. I've only just tuned in. Have you figured out how Hillary was involved in Gavin Watson's death yet? Carl. Well, Hillary must have been involved. Carl, that's a very good point. Crooked Hillary.
It makes me cold. It really makes me cold to think that, yeah, we can call them whatever we want to say. They don't make things happen. They don't know how to read. They just don't know their I's from their T's. But there's a whole underbelly that still has power over all of us.
Well, guys, I decided
just this week.
No, just this weekend. I decided I am cutting out carbs for the next 2 months.
Really?
Yes.
I don't understand how you take out carbs just before you go to Italy. I really don't get that.
Yeah.
No. I'm starting when I get back.
Okay.
Because I know I'm going to overdo it, right? No, let's be fair. I mean, I'm not going to... There's something about the Italian food everybody's been telling me. And remember, I've only been to Venice once. I've never been to the rest of Italy. I've never been to Rome. So this is going to be a hell of an adventure. And I'm definitely going to indulge. Don't you worry.
Just get ready to walk around with your top button undone of your pants.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, that's bad.
Just accept it now.
That self-respect just is down the toilet when you walk around with your top button and your pants undone.
There's a trick, though. There's a trick.
Your gunt.
You just use a belt and you don't tighten your belt as you should. So probably just use 2 holes down on your belt.
I can't.
And then you're hiding the unbuttoned button.
Oh, Sia, that's so horrible.
Oh, and then you get to stuff your face. Oh.
All right, let's get into the... So I'm gonna give up carbs. That's, and we'll see how I do.
Something you've done before?
No. I will Good report luck. Back to you, though.
I did it for a year.
How did it go for you?
Did you starve?
No, not at all.
Oh.
No, I went totally on... I did... what do they call it now?
Banting,
before it was even... Coin.
Before the hipsters got onto it. Yeah. You were banting before everyone started hashtagging it.
I'll bring you a really good, it's a recipe book. I know you don't cook, but it's also got stuff in there that you don't need to cook.
Okay.
Which I lived by for a year. I used to bake my own bread, make my own crackers. It worked for weight loss. It works really well for a few months.
Okay.
But then your body kind of gets used to it anyway.
You see, you do have
and
to
And then you look at a piece of bread and you put on weight.
Mm. Yeah. See, I'm just...
It also makes your diet quite heavy on meats and fats.
That's fine. You can do that. I'm a carnivore.
Any day.
Oh, yeah. And I like salads and things, so that's not a problem.
So you have to put thought into... You see, it becomes tricky when you just want something on the go.
Yeah.
You have a couple of minutes at home, you're like, oh, I can
see and also throw when it's together. Only you and you're cooking for yourself, it's boring as hell. So you try to shortcut that.
But also there's so many restaurants that have made adaptations for banting and low carb. It's so much easier now.
I never tried it before. Let me just see how it goes.
I think try intermittent fasting. Have you heard of it?
I pretty much do that every day.
Yeah,
I mean hours? I only eat at lunchtime. I don't have anything to eat before then.
You eat the rusks, I've seen you.
Very seldom.
Is it?
It's not all the time. I mean, when Sia bought me some yesterday for my birthday, sure, I had some.
For that day of your womb eviction.
That's right, womb eviction. That's such a horrible way to say it.
Not going
to
call it birthday if we didn't do
anything. Yeah, this is a little, an exciting throw forward to what's happening later on. We're going to have John Webb on the line. You know John Webb, who has been in South African media for some time. He's been on radio. He's been on Carte Blanche. John Webb was in Chernobyl, I saw on his social media, because he's
crazy.
A friend of mine there. And I said to Sia, we've got to get the guy on. Talk to John Webb. So we'll speak to him about Chernobyl. Very excited to hear about that. Then Seymour Brugge is going to pop by. He's the sales and marketing manager for Cruises International. As you know, I'm going on this cruise. I want to tell you about it so that you have some idea of what I'll be doing. And I'll try to cross to the show a couple of times to let you know where we are. But I'm very excited about this. And, you know, one of the reasons I want to bring him in here is because everybody thinks that these cruises are either too expensive or they don't like the idea. Let me tell you something. You unpack your bags once and you get to see 10 different places in 8 days.
Okay, so it's one of those cruises where you're disembarking.
Yeah, you get off, you get on, you get to see unbelievable places. I mean, I'm so excited about this. And And who knows who you meet on these cruises. You've got everything you need. The restaurants will blow your mind.
This is your third?
I've been on a couple, but this is my second really smart, interesting, fancy cruise. Mm. I mean, I've been on some other ones that were a bit kind of nasty.
We've been on dodgy ones. Yeah.
There was one where Leanne and Mabale pretty much spent the entire cruise in their rooms.
With seasickness.
Because they went too hard the first night.
Oh, no, amateur. No, not me. No, mine was seasickness on the second trip.
Yeah, okay, Mabale's was because she went too
hard. Mabale was found down some passage with long mirrors.
But I'm not surprised. No. I really am not surprised.
All right, we've got to get into news. We'll talk about this other stuff later because we have so much to do. Apparently, Edward Kiswetter, who's the SARS commissioner, said SARS has been working with law enforcement to tackle crime and corruption. He also has warned that the revenue service is cleaning up, adding over 1,000 tax-related cases are awaiting prosecution. He was addressing delegates at a tax in Dubbo, which started on Monday morning in Sandton. The week-long meeting will see tax professionals and government discuss a way of addressing problems in the sector. He also said SARS has been working to tackle crime and corruption, but he indicated that SARS has fallen short of revenue collections and the service is battling internal fights after the fallout from the so-called rogue unit saga. But he also admitted, I think this is worth taking note of, that he believes South Africa is on the verge of a tax revolt, that people are tired of giving tax money over to government with all the corruption and stealing that happens in government. And he said there is no doubt in his mind that part of the reason that people are reluctant to pay their taxes and are trying to find ways to not pay their taxes is because they don't trust the government. So when your SARS commissioner says that, you know it's a serious problem. I just hope he can communicate that to all the thieves who actually take the money that he brings in and steal it for their own nefarious purposes. Sounds like the Amazon, right?
Yeah.
What is going on?
Your pit,
broadcasting today bird, yeah. From all the right. Amazon.
Today we're broadcasting from the Amazon, where Sia Sangwene has lit a fire that's burning up all the trees.
It started off small, but everything just...
Yeah, now it's blown up out of control. Nelson Mandela University suspends lectures due to student protests. Well, I really think that it's time to just shut down these universities. Probably the most unpopular thing I could say this morning. These universities have become a haven for stupidity instead of a place of learning. Listen to this. Protesters blocked off entrances to the campus with tires and debris over a lack of security. They want to be looked after like children because they don't have parents who can look after them, so they go to university. The students said there had been a high rate of crime on campus, including rape and violent assault. There were also reports of clashes with security guards. By the way, we've already seen in the Eastern Cape a huge amount of made-up nonsense about rape. Made-up nonsense. There was a guy who worked for us here who had about 3 hysterical, crazy women at university in Grahamstown say that he had raped them. Turned out there was absolutely no evidence for it whatsoever. We said to the guy, we're going to, you know, let you quietly go and deal with this and you come back to us when it's all sorted out. It was total nonsense. Were these girls ever prosecuted? No. You know what? They get caught up in this attention seeking, and I know that there's real rape and there's a problem about that. And clearly, there are young people in this country who don't know how to behave themselves, and I'm talking about men. But the fact that there are made up rape culture, as they call it now, problems on campuses, is as a result of people who've really been, they've had horrible lives up to and including university and are now trying to project that psychological damage onto the rest of society. And it's just not on. And these universities have become places which coddle and nurture and protect these students to their own detriment.
Jeez, if ever we've needed truth serum with just the stories we're talking about this morning.
I know.
Hey, good point. Why don't the police get to use it?
We could figure out the Amazon stuff.
It's okay, time for your testimony. Here you go.
Yeah.
So now, what is the purpose of a university?
Education.
Right. So all these kids go to university. You would think to get to learn about the world, to try to understand the world better. And by the way, you don't have to go to university to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think that someone has a university degree is necessarily cleverer than people who don't. I've always maintained that the smart people in the world are the ones who keep on learning, not the ones who just get a piece of paper. People who read, people who listen, people who understand, people who talk to people who know more than them. Our universities have become hostels, effectively. A halfway house between adulthood and childhood.
If you had an 18-year-old child right now, what would you encourage them to do at this point?
Get a job.
To go straight into
get a job. Working. Go and work and do some work that you're going to hate. And learn to be the best at that and figure out how to keep improving. And if you don't like your job, then find a job that's better for you, but make sure that you haven't quit the one that you're in that you hate before you move to the next one.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to save you. And if I'm the father of an 18-year-old and I tell them that means I'm not going to save them either. I'm not going to give them a soft landing. I'm not going to buy them a car. I'm not going to buy them a place to live. They're going to have to figure that out themselves. Look at what you've done, Sia. You did that for yourself. You started working straight after school.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Rags to riches.
Damn right. Well, not yet riches, but he'll get
some. Yeah, look at him.
Nobody has this
he's
ethic.
Here now.
Here's a related story before we move on.
Okay.
This is, who's this from? Let me see. Dumelo. Dumelo says, Gareth, I feel you being harsh on Jaden Smith. He's an example of a kid whose parents did well in life and gave him a better life. So what? He grew up without his struggles. That's what parents want, right? At least he's used his privilege and influence to do something. His water company that's going global because of his environmental soundness. He's got food trucks all over LA feeding the homeless. He's not just sitting on his ass, dude. Stop being a hater. Yeah, he's only doing that with his parents' money. And you know what? It's very easy to do
at
that.
At least he's doing that with his parents' money and not loafing around.
But he is also loafing around and talking a lot of smack on social media. And I do not necessarily have to spend my time giving credit to a kid who's probably nothing more than a user of his parents' resources. Don't have a lot of time for him. I'm sorry. And you know what? As far as parents giving their kids a better life, that's absolutely essential in terms of the basic resources, food and clothing. But this is a spoiled child. There's a huge difference between trying to give your kid a better life and giving them a spoilt life. And I'm not going to take that back. Zandile Gomede resigns as Etekwini mayor. Isn't this old news?
And I'm surprised by this now.
Yeah. So the ANC has confirmed that she's resigned. The party said all its demoted employees at Msunduzi and Etekwini municipalities have complied with instructions to leave office. There was a lot of speculation that she was resisting instructions to resign. The Etekwini municipality is scheduled to hold its council meeting later, where they will decide the new municipal leadership.
I just feel like this is just wording.
Well, they're going to redeploy her as a councillor. So, you know, you just, if you're in the ANC and you're important enough in the ANC, you know enough people, you've done enough political favors for people, you could be rotten to the core and they'll keep employing you. Yeah.
Yes.
You can do no wrong. It's just crazy, right? There's privilege. Talk about privilege. And then poor old David Gagana, you know, we were talking about him yesterday and we said we weren't sure whether he was dead or not because we saw the reports on Twitter. Mm. Turns out he was. He died yesterday morning. David Gagana's funeral will be held on Wednesday at the Rhema Bible Church in Randburg. He'll be cremated in a private ceremony later in the week. They were overwhelmed by the outpouring of love and tributes for David since the news of his passing late Sunday. So there's the family confirming on Monday that the veteran broadcaster succumbed to chronic diabetes after being in hospital for 2 weeks. He was 47 years old.
Man.
And yeah. Well, I didn't meet David, but I mean, you know, we all knew him. And if you saw his face and if you haven't Googled him already, you'd know who he was. Mm. Finally, the South African lottery operator Ituba has announced that the 141 million rand Powerball winning ticket was purchased in Cape Town.
Really?
Wow, this is like, yeah, a bit of a trend for Cape Town.
Mm. Mm. Bought at a spa in Groot Brak. The ticket wager was made for a mere 105 rand at a Quick Pay section of grocery store. makes the third biggest jackpot winner in South Africa, joining the 232 million rand winner in February and the 145 million rand winner in August last year. On Monday, they said that they will make contact with the ticket holder, but they need him to, or her, to step up first to claim their winning ticket.
What if, how much have you, what's the most you've won on the lotto before?
Me?
Yeah.
I've only ever played for absolute ridiculous bullshit ideas. I mean, I had this idea when, I think it was that 232 million rand. I thought, you know what, if I spend 5 rand, 20 rand, 100 rand on it, and I won, it's great. But if you spend more than that, you're kind of just throwing the money down the toilet. I
now,
think I might have won 40 rand or something.
Yeah. Now with it being an app, I've got quite a few friends who put in a bit of money and make sure that they're not putting in more than what they win. But they very often get 300, 400 rand or whatever and then invest 30.
Good for them.
Okay.
It's just easier, more convenient, and you're more in control because you can see what you're spending and how much you're getting back.
Huh.
But I guess if you carry on playing that game a little bit, you could be in for a chance for something bigger.
You ever won anything?
I've won like 40 rand and like 40 and 20 on both times.
You ever win anything?
No, I've never won anything on the lotto. Maybe
you ever played the lotto?
I played it once or twice, actually.
Okay.
But we could do like a stock fell here. Lotto stock fell. What do you guys think?
Yeah, but then we have to split the money if we win.
Oh, it's millions, Gareth. I mean, imagine 140 something million between, what, the four of us.
My maths is bad.
See, have you
it's a lot of money, dude.
You ever won anything on the lotto?
No. I remember one. So... Because I just was a teenager with nothing better to do. But I would twist the arm of our helper to go and play on my behalf. And be like, look, like I'll just give, I think it was like 2 rand 50 at the time. I was like, no.
So you give
go.
Her your money?
Yeah, because I was under 18, so I couldn't play. But okay. I'm like, you know what? We'll win together. We'll just leave this crappy family when I was angry with my family. This whole plan, she and I would be millionaires, we'd leave our family. No, still didn't win anything.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sia.
No. My plan didn't work out.
You could have got away.
I'm still stuck with the family I have.
All right. Those are the five things you need to know this morning. Here's something interesting from somebody on WhatsApp. You can always get hold of us on 0797482090.
What is it?
0797482090.
Thanks.
This is from Eddie. Eddie says, you were talking about citrus farming yesterday. Mm. I recommend you Google Potensi in the Eastern Cape. It's a citrus farming community. The town is probably the most underrated little gem in South Africa. Orange orchards everywhere. It's a gateway to the Bavians Kloof. It's very nice, according to Eddie. Okay. Potensi.
It's good. In the Saarbartman district municipality.
Oh, very nice. Tell us more.
The Kuga Dam is located several kilometers to the west.
Very nice.
The name is Koi in origin and means cattle resting place.
Very nice.
Oh.
How lovely is that? That is a lovely thing for you to tell.
It's all lovely.
Yes, the beast. Women's rights in the workplace are a contentious topic. Men have always had the benefit of getting the opportunities, the highest salaries, and continue to be the majority of the executives running companies and sitting at the helm of industries. How can the state and the private sector be more inclusive of women? Can gender quotas be used in a meaningful way that gives deserving women a chance to thrive? This is the topic being tackled on The Interchange, a podcast series featuring some of the best university debaters debating critical and controversial issues. If you haven't listened to it yet, you need to listen to The Interchange. It's on cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's made possible by Absa and Simone, and I suggest you take a listen and see what they're up to. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well.
Oh,
Sia was putting his hand up. Yes, yes, Mr. Sangweni, go ahead.
I have two hands up for this.
Go on.
Can we talk about Mr. Steve Harvey?
This is what I think you wanted to speak
about. All right. So, Sia went yesterday to meet Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey! What did you do?
You know, the way my life plans and pans out, actually, more than plans out, is really quite cool. So, Steve Harvey's in the country. He is here with a major announcement. You know, he has been the host of Family Feud, which is a game show in the United States, since 2010. He's brought the ratings up and really is like a cool big show in the States right now.
And I always felt like we were missing out because there were a lot of stories in the celebrity world of what happened on Family Feud
Yes,
we're putting a French flair on it.
Yeah, there are two editions of the show. There's a normal Family Feuds where just your average Americans go into the show with the families and they compete against each other. Then there's also Celebrity Family Feud where celebrity families compete against each other and the winner donates $25,000 to a charity of their choice.
Right.
So Steve Harvey came to Africa late last year. I think he was speaking in Botswana. And it's one of those, oh my gosh, motherland things. But, you know, the fact that he's acted on it.
I love Africa!
The fact that he's acted on it really takes the eye roll out of it. But he says he fell in love with Africa there and then. And he started speaking about why can't he bring Family Feud to Africa? Mm-hmm. And he...
Because he doesn't realize the kinds of feuds we already have here.
The kinds of families we have.
No, so much better. So he then started, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk. In this instance, rallied a team together to put a show together. And so now he announced yesterday that he'll be doing two editions of an African Family Feud, one based in South Africa and another based in Ghana. He signed on for a 2-year deal. So he'll be doing this for a minimum of 2 years in the African continent. And he'll actually be moving to South Africa for a while.
Really?
Wow. Isn't that something?
That's very nice.
I was surprised to learn that it will be as soon as next month.
So he, Cape Town?
Here in Johannesburg, actually.
Ooh. Oh, if he brings his daughter, I mean.
Who's his daughter?
I think it's Laurie Harvey.
Moving on swiftly.
Fine. Should see her.
Moving on swiftly.
What if she wasn't fine?
I better warn her to stay away from you.
Anyway. Wow. So yeah, he'll be here. Who knows? You might be in Sandton and you might bump into Steve Harvey now.
I know,
now.
This is very exciting.
Mm. They'll be filming for the rest of the year. He goes back to the States in December, and then he'll be back again to edit the show, and the show will air in the first quarter of next year. Now this is the interesting thing. I was originally called to be part of the press conference. Mm-hmm. We're all going to gather there and sit, and Steve will chat to everyone, and we'll just leave. That's all I was expecting. I arrived there a little earlier, and I was just chatting to the team who was organizing all of this. And they said, oh, do you have equipment here? I go, yeah, sure. Yeah, we have recording equipment here. I'm all ready. And then they say, oh, yeah, then do you want to go and talk to Mr. Harvey? I'm like, what?
Nice, yeah.
They go, yeah, sure, you can go straight in. And that is when I lost it. They're like, yeah, he has like 30 minutes free right now. You
30
can go
minutes?
And talk to him.
Wow. That's fantastic. So did you do it?
Freaked out as all hell, but I did do it.
Good. Well, where's the recording, goddammit?
We have the recording. We'll edit it and we'll air it out a little later this week.
What did you speak about?
I know.
For that amount of time.
What do I say to Steve Harvey? But he's actually a really, really cool guy. Because, you know, he spoke more about why it was important for him to make this Africa move. And that was a purely numbers-based decision. You look at how Africa has big numbers, but, you know, we just don't have the resources to make things happen. So he says one of the channels that he watched when he was in Botswana last year was Africa Magic. Right. Do you guys remember Africa Magic?
Yes, of course. Terribly embarrassing channel.
Yes. Yeah. So when he mentioned Africa Magic, I was like, oh no, couldn't you have cited Mnet, something else? But he said like, yeah, I watched Africa Magic where I was watching a movie on Africa Magic. Then there was, you know, a character that was talking to someone in the next scene, the character was gone. Then in the next scene, they were underwater. Then in the next scene, you could see the microphone in the shot. And that's when he said,
okay, it's really bad.
I need to come in and do some things. So, he'll be bringing his team and resources to change that. So he spoke about his love of Africa. He spoke about how he's raising his kids. So you spoke about Jaden Smith and you know, entitlement and Ananda a little earlier. Well, he took his cars away from his young sons when they were acting up in high school, and he was actually like, you know what, you guys have to work for things. You know, you won't just land everything
Steve
you're
Harvey,
my kids.
Steve Harvey strikes me as one of the people that everybody likes.
He's got great values.
Mm. His wife was there as well. His two sons were in the room.
Yeah.
So I think like we ended up speaking on on recording for about 20 minutes, but they were really, really cool people. And yeah.
Very nice.
It was an awesome experience, actually.
You know. So we will get to hear that later on this week.
Yeah, there was a point where I actually ordered a drink, and I have that on recording. He's like, yeah, I'm going to make your podcast pop, man. I'm going to make it pop now. Yeah, now we're doing it. I'm
like, what did he order?
Like, please don't get drunk. I don't want to be accountable for this now.
What did he have?
He had like a 25-year-old whiskey.
Oh, so you can say 25 units of.
No, 25-year-old whiskey. But he's a very classy guy, really classy guy.
I just look at some of his face expressions and burst out laughing. I mean,
he's great.
He doesn't even have to try.
So it was just you and him talking?
It was just him and I. When I walked in, I found him on the couch, and he was slumped over on a couch. And you can tell when someone as well isn't really up to things. So I thought, oh man, like they brought me in when he was resting. He slumped on a couch and now I have to stick a microphone in his face. It's going to get a little awkward. And I had to awkwardly stand because he was still in the conversation with his team. And I was just like, okay, yeah, I don't know what to say. And I was told very explicitly to refer to him as Mr. Harvey.
Oh, wow.
So to the listener the other day who said I'm too familiar with some of the people, like Jeffrey Epstein. So that was ringing in my head. I was like, okay, Mr. Harvey. Mm-hmm. Harvey.
Okay.
Walked up to him and just said, hi, Mr. Harvey. I hope you don't mind, but I was told that you have a couple of minutes available. Would you mind if we had a chat? And he goes, yeah, sure. He goes, is this on TV? Is this on TV? I was like, no, it's just you and I with a microphone. He goes, yeah, okay, sure. And I was like, okay, what do I do? Because I'm not just going to sit very close to him on the couch. But then he invited me. So I was like, okay, that's fine.
You're so anxious.
You're such an awkward turtle.
I hate, that says a lot coming from you, Leanne.
No, I would
really
have died.
It says a lot coming from you.
I wouldn't have been able to do it at all.
Yeah, and I had like...
Hats off.
Three awkward questions with him in the beginning, but after that he warmed up and we really had more of a conversation than an interview that I really, really liked. Yeah,
nice.
So
We've got a few messages. We'll get to those in a little while. You can also get hold of us, 0797482090. Just put it on your phone so that you know how to get us in the event that you want to say something. You can always send us a voice note. You can send us a WhatsApp. We've got Telegram on here. We've got tweets, all of it, so you know how to get hold of us. Do that ASAP. All right, coming up, we'll speak to John Webb about Chernobyl. He just went to visit the Russian city of Chernobyl. Well, it's actually in the Ukraine.
Yes.
And we'll also get Seymour Brooker in here from Cruises International. We'll talk about that. I saw Graham sent a message to say, cruising is hands down the most fun any human being can have. Having experienced it a couple of times himself, I think you could take his word for it. All of that and more on the way.
This is CliffCentral.com.